Do you want a beautiful lawn? Enter True Green, the easiest way to get a great lawn. Just water and mow and they'll do the rest. Weed control, fertilization, aeration, and more. True Green is the official lawn care treatment provider of the PGA Tour. And they have a verified best price, which guarantees you the lowest price with no compromise on quality. You do you. Let True Green do your lawn care. Visit TrueGreen.com, TrueGreen.com to get the best lawn at the best price with the best people. Guaranteed.
Hey everyone, it's Michael. Before we get started, wanted to let you know about the Union GK app. The Union GK believes that all goalkeepers, parents, and coaches should have access to personal mentoring, college recruiting, and training, which can be thousands of dollars annually. The Union breaks the barrier to entry to these offerings with a cost-effective subscription. So regardless of your location, your subscription allows you to connect with world-class professionals throughout the goalkeeping industry in a safe, intimate setting and receive unbiased feedback and guidance. For more info, go to theuniongk.com or download the app at the Union GK community on Apple or Google Play stores. Thanks for making the Union possible, and on with the show. Welcome to Inside the 18. I'm Michael Majid, live from Hollywood, California. With me, nice and cozy, hopefully not limping around, the one and only 99 World Cup winner, Saskia Weber. And joining us, definitely not limping around because he's living the high life in Miami, Florida, the one and only Shorts IQ himself, Jacopo. I am trying so hard to pronounce the name right. Jacopo. Viola.
Jacopo is great.
Yes. Jacopo. Oh, guys. Jacopo Viola. Oh, man. Look at that. Well, Jacopo, thanks for joining us here, man. Earlier, guys, if you tuned in before we actually started the show, Jacopo was having a little bit of an audio issue, and he sounded like one of those Transformers, like Megatron or Starscream or something like that, or somebody with a voice box. And I was like, wow, this is perfect for an episode about what not to do on social media. Because as we all know, audio is massive, right, Jacopo?
Yeah, correct. Fortunately, you figured out immediately because I didn't know that my audio was that bad, actually.
Oh my gosh. Well, Saskia usually is the one whose audio, you know, has
whatever. Had here.
The headphones. Come on, shoot them.
I'm like, whatever.
You got the headphones going. You got a lovely background going on right there.
It's not too shabby. You got two World Cup medals. Everything.
I don't have any of those. Do you have any of those?
No, I don't. I don't.
Oh my gosh. Well. Before we get,
we don't really talk about. We don't talk about the one here.
Wait, what's the one there? Which is that one right there?
That's the bronze. Oh, Sweden.
Hey, still a medal. It's still a medal.
But people forget that we played a World Cup in 1995 because we got a bronze. Like, nobody talks about it. But I still have it up there. It's right there.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Jacopo, before we kind of get into today's topic, which is maximizing your social media, if you're a young coach out there or a player trying to get recruited to college, why don't you talk a little bit about kind of like your journey here? Because, you know, you start out as a player, obviously. You came through the Milan Academy, then came on to the United States to play Division I University at University of Portland for Nick Carlin Voigt, I believe it was, right? For Nick?
Yes.
That
yes,
you played
yes.
for?
Yes.
It's so funny how small the goalkeeping world is. It's like everyone's connected in some sort of way. And I remember Nick back when he was an assistant at UCLA, and I used to do camps with him and all that sort of thing. But Jacopo, what made you interested in getting involved in social media and helping people create short form content?
Yeah. So it's been quite a long journey for me because, you know, I never thought that I was getting here, actually. If I had to imagine my path, it would have been very different. So I began literally playing soccer when I was very young, and I had been lucky enough to play throughout the AC Milan youth sector for almost 9 years, and having the opportunity to also like witness some of the most important champions in the world today, like Gigio Donnarumma, or even like Balotelli, Ibrahimovic. I had the opportunity to even train with them. And after that, I basically like 1 year, I went into the professional rankings in Italy. I started in third division, and then I went to the third division, which is professional at, you know, everything included, like effectively. And there, it was very tough at the beginning, but then I had you know, a couple of major injuries, one on the shoulder and one at the leg, and I was out pretty much like 1 year. And when I signed like 3 years of contract, the team bailed out, and so like I found myself with no minutes played, and with no contract, because there was no club to play for. And so I was like, okay, man, you are 21. You need to figure out your life.
Really, really quickly, Jacopo, but before you continue on right there, you know, Saskia, this is something that we not only just in regards to like finding out, you know, doing stuff on social media and stuff like that, but a lot of young goalkeepers, when they finish their senior year and if the professional opportunities aren't there, a lot of them don't know what to do. And I know that yourself and a lot of other ex-pros have really been trying to help those goalkeepers find a direction so that they have a pathway to do something post playing.
Well, yeah, I mean, with Angel City, and look, I have a Bay FC hat on right now, like, and with a bunch of other teams in the league, like we started like player 22. And so that's helping to develop players for when they, you know, whether it's an injury that stops them from playing, or, you know, whether they just retire or they don't make it as far as they want to, that we set them up with careers inside, you know, the soccer universe, or even to expand out of that, whether it be in the front office, coaching, you know, whatever we can to help develop skills so that you're not just like, what do I do? You know, trust me, because that's how I was.
Absolutely. And by the way, Jacopo, feel free to step in anytime. You don't need to wait for me to ask you a question or anything like that.
No, but I'm an active listener as well. So
I love it, man. But, you know, I mean, obviously, so, you know, you did the whole thing you did in college, and then you kind of got involved in the kind of the startup world and as an entrepreneur and everything like that. So why don't you talk a little bit about Shorts IQ, because this is kind of the whole genesis of what you've been doing and helping people right now.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm going to be very short in the sense, short IQ, but short also like in the story. So basically, at the end of the, when I was 21 and the team bailed out, I had the thought, and was like 2018, to leverage social media to promote myself. And basically the videos that I did there were completely different than what I'm doing now. So I was, you know, like doing crazy jumps or like crazy saves, or I was just trying to find a team, you know, and a creative way to attract the attention on myself, to jump back into the professional world. And that, you know, in that regards, I learned a lot about marketing, because my motivation was to keep playing. And once I came to the US, I had the opportunity to work with Strelli Soccer, which is actually also like I'm still working for them right now. And with them, I developed like an understanding of how social media can be interesting for business. And I figured that not many people understand social media fully, because also like short videos are not something that has been, I don't know, 20 years old. And so it's something that is popping up right now. And so I decided to leverage this space due to the cool, you know, like results that we had. And so I'm basically developing a solution, because I also love technology, and I found myself to love a lot of technology, to help brands and businesses leveraging storytelling through artificial intelligence. So my startup is about empowering brands through storytelling. That's what we do.
I mean, it's crazy, Susk, you know, because we're talking about this, you know, and like, obviously, you know, when we've had these discussions, and, you know, through trial and error during the pandemic and then post-pandemic, you know, so many coaches out there and so many players out there have tried to utilize social media to promote themselves or get people to sign up for their academies or to get a job or anything like that. And it's just a wild west out there. And there's not a lot of people like Jacopo out there who are actually giving actual quality advice. A lot of them out there are, you know, trying to get you to, you know, sign a deal with the devil, essentially.
But it's obvious there's a science to it, you know, and Jacopo's has found that way of doing it. And that's so effective. And it is the Wild West. You just like you said, which I thought was funny coming from an Italian, it's like throwing spaghetti against the wall. I was like, do Italians do that? I know Americans do that. I didn't think Italians were allowed to do that. But
don't waste that spaghetti, man.
I think it's like sacrilege in Italy. Like you can't throw spaghetti against the wall. It's, Americans, you know, they put ketchup on spaghetti.
I'm trying to get him into the culture.
But there's a science to it, and there's a science to get people, and you've unlocked that, and that's, you know, that's what's so key here.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah,
and I go ahead.
Oh no, like ahead, there is like is and then like I'm curious also to hear your opinion, Michael, but is a science, but I would say that the creative element is still a major, you know, like drive, not a major driver, but is as equally important as the science behind it, because
that's what I mean, like within the science, I mean kind of like as a word to say how to develop the creative side of it to hook people in, you know, to get the viewers, to get people to understand what you're doing and go to your site and sign up for your things. That's what I mean by science.
And I think one thing, you know, Jacopo, that's been very difficult for me, and I feel like it's becoming a therapy session or consulting session on how to do this now for myself here, but you start getting frustrated and you go like, I don't want to do what everyone else is doing because I'm unique and I'm blah, 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 or whatever. And you start recognizing the fact that like the reason certain things work is because people are following a formula. People are following a science, that sort of thing with it. You might have the best content in the world. You might have the best context on your session design and really all this wonderful knowledge. But if you can't get the eyes onto it and get people to migrate to check out the long form content, then you're wasting your time, right?
Yeah, it's very tough because on social you have two things. So the first one is that everything is within like a format, meaning that the structure of the storytelling is like pretty much always the same, the one that work. But at the same time, you don't want, I think, and that's the major mistake that I see many people doing, including myself at the beginning, is that I want to copy or to understand what other people are doing. But instead of that, you should very much focus on who you are targeting, why you're doing it, and how sustainable is that for you, to then develop a self and original thinking about it. Because if you start copying other people, the problem is that you are always one, two, three steps behind. And it's also like the wrong focus, because you are not serving the community. You are serving yourself by copying others. And that's tough. That's tough, and it doesn't work. So.
See, I love what you just said right there, because I think, Siska, there's a lot of people out there and they don't care whether it's negative attention or positive attention. They just want to build their following and build the amount of people eyes on their stuff. Right.
And that goes across all genres on social media, period. You know, it's that shock value, and you have celebrities that have a million followers and it's shock value and it's crap what they're putting out there and it's negative just to get reaction and followers and trending or whatever. And, you know, and even back during pandemic, that was part of, you know, our catalyst to starting what we started, was that some of the goalkeeping stuff you saw out there was so just crap but it got so many hits and views because of the shock value, or because of it wasn't educational. It wasn't like, oh, this is what goalkeepers should do, you know, dive after a ball that's falling out of the back of a truck. You know, I mean, like, that's brilliant.
That was actually Jacopo's video. That was what he started with.
Was it yours? No, it wasn't.
Like I did it 4 years ago. That's what I'm like. Yeah, I just want to do the shitty stuff.
I gotta go now.
No, but don't
I didn't know that, and I always use that example. I'm gonna tell you something. Franz Hook was showing me a pitch deck that he had made. And if you guys don't know who Franz Hook is, then you come on.
That was the phase when I started.
And he used it. He used it as an example as well on his thing. Oh my God, I can't believe I found the person that was diving behind the balls of the truck.
But see, everyone can be saved, Sus. Everyone can be saved. You can go from that to now.
The point is, we've all seen it, right? So the point is, even Franz Hook, one of the greatest goalkeeper coaches in history, has seen it. You know, I've seen it multiple times. And, you know, it was shock value. Everybody's seen it. But how do you work that? How do you work that into a session? Oh my God, it's the greatest thing ever. I'm excited I found you.
Saskia's been looking for 6 years for this man.
Who's this crazy guy that is reading their petition of goalkeepers?
I should have used the example of like the skipping balls.
I love it. Hey, if you have other stuff to tell me, like please do it now.
I didn't know. Oh my God, this is like goes on the blooper reels of like foot.
No, and no, but it's great though because
but it's the point. It's the point.
But also, Jacopo, I think it's one of those things where
you've grown from there. You
also probably grew from there, and also in regards to the fact that, like, you know, and this is a conversation I had with Omar Zini, you know, when he started his Pro GK Academy, and he also shifted his focus as well, too, because he recognized that the attention he was getting was actually detrimental to his value to the coaching community, his value to the goalkeeping community. Sure, kids were watching it and being like, hey, you're awesome, blah, 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 all that sort of stuff. But, you know, the Phil Weddins and the Franz Hooks and, you know, the Joe Lloydens and everything like that were looking at that and going like, not who I want to associate with. So what was the kind of the, for lack of a better term, the come to, you know, absolutely, Jesus moment for you?
No, I want to address this now because we should talk about it.
Start the podcast over. But it's the point. I'm going to save myself here because the point actually goes to what we're talking about. And then it goes to the fact that, you know, you've grown from there. We've all grown from the fact, and Omar has, that it's not about that shock value or it's about grabbing the viewer, but it's also like, how can I be educational at the same time in a split second, in 30 seconds or less, and grab their attention without being like so over the top that it's not like beneficial for them in a sense. Yeah. It's just serving my purpose for getting viewers.
Yeah, I agree.
Just digging a hole.
Yeah, no. Like before getting there, I agree with you. And so like, I want to also like specify why I used to do even like worse stuff than that. I'm telling you. Back on my profile, you can find way worse stuff. But like the back thought there was, okay, I just want to keep playing and I don't care about educating other people. Literally, that was the
purpose.
And so I'm like, okay, I just need to grab attention because if I get like a video of myself doing funny stuff, because it's obviously, it's evident that it's not a serious video and it's always it's mainly funny. Like out of like, I don't know, 20, 30, 100 million people that will see it, eventually some of them will land on my profile and will see more serious stuff about me doing the videos and stuff. And so I'm like, they get that I'm funny and they get that this is garbage in a sense, like from a goalkeeper perspective. But in the meantime, if they land there, they can see my videos and therefore like maybe one club or two contact me. And in fact, it actually worked. This strategy actually worked because I was about to sign a professional contract from Instagram. There was an agent that contacted me and I had like a trial in Norway, in Oslo. And then in Georgia, I was there for 2 months, 3 years ago, in the pandemic. Thanks to these shitty videos. basically. So that is.
No, but I get your point there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I will say this, but I think the thing is that, so when did you pivot? When did you go, oh, you know what? I need to give more value to the audience as opposed to this, because my concern would be, Jacopo, is like, if I'm, cause I mean, you know, this obviously is, you know, as an educator yourself, is that like, if I see somebody doing something like that, that doesn't showcase to me that, you know, how they're going to be in an actual environment. I need to see the moment before. I need to see their starting position. I need to see them in actual game realistic movements and actions, how they scan the field, all those sorts of things. And that's really hard to showcase in a short form video. So like kind of like as we start getting to the topic here about maximizing that time here, I want to you know, ask you, like, okay, so how does a young player now do that without looking like a laughing stock? No disrespect up front, but still get a lot of eyes on it.
Absolutely. So first of all, if you get the video of anyone that is doing bad stuff, like, it's not important. Because as long as you keep going, like the 200 videos that you will do after that one that is bad, will completely compound and outperform, all the others. And so, like, the impression that you will get from these videos are the ones that matter. So it doesn't matter anymore what you did before. In fact, like Saskia, for example, didn't even know about the video of me doing the stuff, but the fact that I kept going for with other 200 videos more that were completely about educating goalkeepers, that's an indicator. So if we want to see, for example, this video, the way to look at, like, educating people, especially in the soccer and the goalkeepers world, is doing it through visuals. So why? Because as humans, we perceive the world in with our senses, and there are some senses that are more perceptive than others in specific environments. So when it comes to sports, in fact, most of the videos that go viral are always visually compelling or visually attractive, and even the educational ones. If I have to go through all the educational videos that I've seen going viral, all of them have a visual compelling element. Mm-hmm. Now, if you're Toni Kroos, it's even easier, because everyone knows you. But I would say this is the starting point.
Yeah, and that's, that's interesting that you showed this as kind of a good example. Now, obviously, you're starting from a position of power when you're a Toni Kroos, because, like, right. you're a world name. You played at Real Madrid, Champions League, and all that sort of stuff. So, like, you've got that going for you, but even Toni Kroos, like, if the video is not interesting from the get-go, a 12-year-old, first off, a 12-year-old is like, who's this old man? Because they're, seriously,
he's never coming on the show.
No, but you get what I'm saying? That's how fast things move. So, like, even that only gives you so much. I mean, Jerry Seinfeld said, when you get on stage, as a Jerry Seinfeld or a Chris Rock, you have 30 seconds before they're just like, okay, make me laugh. I know who you are.
Or you lost them.
Exactly. So first off, before we look at this, Jacopo, what about this video makes it a quality video?
This part. So this video is divided into, I always divide the video in three components. So there is the hook, which is like the first 2 seconds. Then there is the body of the video, which is like the juice, everything comes there. And then there is the most important part, actually, which is like the payoff. Now, the payoff has to be like at the end of the video, and has to be the reason why the viewer keeps sticking around and watching the whole thing throughout, that from the hook to the body to the last very second. So, for example, if I start a video saying, like, I waited 70 years to make this, 17 years to make this, like Casinesta did in the last video, but this is another story, then I have a very compelling hook that carries the viewer through the rest of the video. And then at the end of the video, I must have the payoff. Now, in this case, specifically, the hook is Toni Kroos. because it's a strong enough hook. Then there is like the body, which is like a step-by-step understanding of like the dribble, how to do that and stuff, like the movements. And then the very cool part is the payoff, which is like the real match situation that he shows. And so like immediately the relatability is, okay, he did that. Ah, this is how you do it in a match. You know?
Awesome. And it was that quick.
It was 15 seconds.
And it's awesome. I love how I love the imagery though. I love that you put the little cone there, like it on the game footage. Like it's so simple and so quick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also go ahead. Sorry, Michael.
No, Jacobo, I just want to ask you because like the thing is that, you know, people might be seeing this and they go like, oh, wow, well, yeah, but Tony Cruz probably has a professional team to do all this sort of stuff, you know, and like, you know, fancy editors and things like that. Like there's ways you can do this by yourself if you're just smart about it, right?
Yeah. Well, look, we got I would say this is my full-time job. I got good results and I've never used a professional camera in my entire life. And I don't have a crew, I'm just by myself, you know. So the thing is, you just need an iPhone, and the very, very, very important thing is the storytelling behind it. So this stuff that we are seeing is what in marketing is called value-based marketing, meaning give value without asking anything in return. And the purpose is not because people there will give you back something, but the purpose is just because you want to be genuinely helpful. And in this case, of course, like he has an academy, but the principle behind it is the same. So the good thing that I would catch from this, if I were a coach and maybe like people that are seeing this now, is I can use footage of real matches and then finding somehow nuggets to then deliver the value on the field by myself so that I can say, hey, don't do that instead, look how it translates in a match. And then I created the story, you see? That's a very cool way to, I think, deliver value and attract that attention.
So I think, you know, I think one of the difficulty things, you know, in regards to this, you know, Jacopo, is like people say like, okay, well, it's easier as an outfield skills coach to do this type of thing because, you know, simple actions like this can be done literally just one person in a ball on a field by themselves. They don't need a server. They don't need a team. They don't need to set up the actual game scenario. With goalkeeping, it's a lot more difficult because you're talking about developing the moment before, the decision-making, the action, and you need a server as well in the moment. So how do you set all that up so short in such a quick amount of time?
Yeah. So the very first thing to say is that providing context as a goalkeeper is almost impossible, because if you think about what goalkeepers do, we are not as a standard role as others, meaning that it's much more an art than other things, because everyone has his own interpretation of the role. And so like everyone has different opinions, like the Italian school is different than the American one, then the English one is different than the French one. And so everyone is different because everyone has his different thoughts. And so it's impossible to deliver the whole thing in like 15 seconds. But what you can really do is like jumping in into your back experience and then somehow propose, you know, like the content from your own perspective without the fear of getting hated. Because, for example, like this exercise in Italy, I sent you also like a similar one from a Serie A goalkeeper. But I know that Buffon used to do that very much and like even top goalkeepers in the world. And we got hated this is the very first video that I posted with Torelli, because we did the somersault. Now, I know that in American culture, the somersault is not well viewed, at least in my experience. But in Italy, literally, I was trained by, you know, I don't know if you know William Vecchi, who is he? But he trained Casillas, Dida, Buffon, even Neuer for a while. So, I mean, you should know a couple of things about goalkeeping, right? And we did that. We did it. We did that very many times.
A long time ago, we did it. Yeah, with Tony DiCicco and everything, we would do the somersault.
Yeah, and it's something that is fine. I mean, everyone has his own opinions, but not many people that are, you know, have quite of an experience or understand.
But I mean, because people immediately troll and say, well, since when do you do a somersault and goal? But that you have to look at the why. The why is it's not the somersault. It's to kind of have to get your bearings about you. So you're coming up out of somersault, you have to get your footing proper. You have to get your eyes on the ball. You have to readjust your body shape and everything like that. It's not the somersault. It's putting you into a position where you have to readjust yourself quickly. You know, that's the why.
But you know what, one thing that's interesting about this, you know, Jacopo, is like, so if I go back to kind of the beginning of this whole thing right there after right here. So first off is that I think anything can be, if you can give the why in immediately and you can give context to something, I think anyone can buy into anything as long as they know the why on why you're doing something. So how do you do that so that people don't just immediately go, oh, this guy's just doing this for flash value? Like how do we go about doing that?
So the key, and I like very much how you framed it, is to put in front the problem first. Mm. So, and this is very an oversimplification. That's why I'm like, okay, I like these kind of videos. I like making them. But at the same time, I would love also to have a space or to explain something more about why we are doing this stuff. Because, for example, here I would say, Saskia, I don't know, I ask you this. What would you say are the problems that doing this exercise can solve in a match?
Or wait, what?
How does doing the somersaults in training translate as a skill?
Right, and again, it's what I said. Again, it's having to reassess your, like, you have to find the ball again. You have to get your body shape quickly to get in position to recover back to the bar. Like, you know, so it's kind of taking your eyesight, your mentality, see if you can readjust, reshape your body quickly. And it doesn't have to be a somersault. It can be something else. I mean, you know, but it's something, his eyes are off the ball, right? His body's in a weird shape. He has to readjust quickly. That's how it goes into a match. You know, if you get pulled out of position, you make a save one way and you have to readjust your body quickly to make another save. This kind of mimics that in your head mentally and with your eyesight and everything.
Now I will say, oh, go ahead, Jacopo.
Oh, no, it's just to say that, for example, in this case that Saskia explained, to deliver the value, because this is not a value-based video, this was made, 3 years ago, I would probably start with the problem of, like, someone that is falling back into position in a weird way or incorrectly, and then falling, you know, getting scored, so that people say, this guy didn't recover the position very well. That's the problem. Now the solution and the how you go through that is, like, you can showcase some exercises to fix it. Of course, it's not that simple. It's an oversimplification because we know that goalkeeping is the most complex role in the world. But at the same time, it's a nugget that if you understand and if you want to see value in it, you actually do.
See, Jacopo, I love one of the things that you just said there in regards to that, is that all we're trying to do is, first off, we're trying to instill thought, whether it's positive or negative. We're instilling thought, which means that people are engaging, which means that they're thinking and they're problem solving, and hopefully in a positive mark. I like how you said this was 3 years ago, because you're continuing to evolve, and you know the practices on social media are continuing to evolve. Again, like you said, it's still very, very, very new in the process. You know, it hasn't been around that long. I will say this, you know, if you were doing this now, what you said about showing how an action in a game where you're disoriented and a player getting caught from being on the ground and not being able to recover in time to play the ball over the bar, you know, is a great way to start. First off, there's that emotional response. You're like, oh, I've been there before. And then showing how a simple activity like this can teach you how to handle being disoriented and having to make a quick decision to recover immediately. And again, it's all about the why. It's all about the why, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like whenever anybody says, oh, I don't use sticks, I don't use hurdles, I don't use ropes or whatever. Okay, that's cool. You don't have to. That person that's using it, this is the why of why they're using it, you know. Mm-hmm. And again, you just need to know that why and you need to teach that why. I want to move on to the next clip from here, which obviously this got a lot of engagement here. So Also, you seem to be getting a good workout with all these sessions here. All right, let's move on here. Okay, so what's this next one right here? And so is this a good one or a bad one?
This is a good one, and this is literally the example of what I explained. This got like 2-3 million views. I don't remember very well, but this is from one of the companies we are working with. And so, for example, here is very simple. It's a very standardized format now because everyone is doing it. So now we are finding something else to evolve because we are making our own decisions. But basically, when we started this, because we were the first to do this, we started always a video showcasing like a mistake. So if you play it, you see now it's like, okay, you would like the X, with like the circle, and with like a position, you actually showcase a possible mistake or something that is wrong. And that piques the curiosity. Then there is the coach here, because this is one of our coaches, that explains somehow in a nugget what is this about and how to fix this. And then there is the good example at the end, so that you go through the whole thing. You know, as a viewer, you get actual value from it, because next time that you go on the field, it's like, oh, maybe I don't do that, or maybe I do it, but then I correct myself. So again, as you, Michael, said, it's about instilling thoughts. So,
yeah, you know, and again, it's so, honestly, like, hats off to you, Jacobo, with everything that you're doing with all these different companies and these different academies, because it is so hard to, it looks like, it's one of those things, like, when people see me do stand up and they say, wow, like, it looks like, you know, it looks like you're just making stuff up on the spot type of a thing. It's like, but no, it's a lot of preparation to make it look so effortless in 10 seconds and 15 seconds and that sort of thing. So when people are starting this process, like, there's going to be a lot of trial and error, right? And
yeah,
and should they share it with their friends and everything and like try to get feedback first, or should they just start throwing stuff up there?
So again, I come back to your word, because I liked it very much. You have to start from the why you are doing it, and the why has to be consistent. So I made the mistake that my why was completely related to my career, and then I found myself shifting because of like life and working dynamics. But if your why is actually like a very long term why, and you sustain yourself because you love to do it, and you know, your why is much connected to your own deep feelings, then it's like, who cares? Then just start posting. Because the way you're posting now and the stuff that you're posting now is not going to be seen from people that, 2-3 years from now will watch your videos that will be made correctly. Because you will have found then a good understanding of like how to make the videos. So I would say, who cares? Just start posting. Don't get the hating, get the comment. Don't care. No, it's like you should have you have to be kind of bold, but at the same time stick to your values. So that's what I think.
I think one of those things that you said right there in regards to that, like, you know, people aren't going to remember. It's kind of the same thing, Saskia, I'm just thinking about. It's like if a 12-year-old goes, well, I'm not going to try this in a game because I'm going to get scored on right now. And, you know, what's a college coach going to think when I'm 15? You know, well, they're not watching that footage of you when you were 12 years old. So this is your time to experiment. This is your time to explore before the stakes are higher.
It'd be better if the coaches knew that. Well, think about it. The problem, one of the biggest problems we have here in the United States is that the coaches don't allow their teams and their players and their young kids to fail. They're goalkeepers, whether they can't strike a proper goal kick or something. So they bring some fullback in that can hit a ball 50, 60 yards. But how is that going to teach your keeper? How is that going? First of all, nobody ever hits a goal kick that far anymore, really, but they all pass it short. But how are you going to teach it? So what's the importance here? Is the importance winning? Of course, importance development, you know, and that's a huge problem in my opinion here, especially in the United States. I don't know how it is in Europe, but in the United States, there's no, you know, so the kid in their mind doesn't want to fail either. So they're like, well, I'm not going to try this because I'm not going to fail. I don't want to fail.
I love it. It's even worse in Europe, actually. Way worse.
All right. Speaking of worse, let's go to the opposite direction of what you just showed. And here's a video of somebody else doing that somersault activity. And first off, Jacopo, one of the things I say is, what the hell is this? What is this? Why is there...
Yes. Oh, you thought I thought it was going to be like the end of the other thing. Like you're going to see the defensive shape in the game.
This looks like the scene from like Mad Max when they're all playing inside the Thunderdome.
Welcome to Italy, Michael. No, yeah. This is during like the preseason training of one of the craziest actually fans that we have in Italy, which is from Genova. And yeah, this is the second or third day of preseason. They were like, I don't know, 5,000, 10,000 people to see a training.
Wait, this is watching a training session?
A training session.
This is not a match?
No. People work.
This is insane.
That's a good point, Saskia.
Don't people have to work?
This is unreal.
A minute. Think about it, Mike. Because think about how many people go down to like Arizona to watch like Yankees preseason.
Spring training.
And I'm like, what? Like my brother's even done it with his.
Yeah, but they're not watching like the batting cages.
They go. I don't know. I'd have to ask him. They might. I know that it's all preseason scrimmages, but still, it's like, what?
Okay. So when Jacopo, when you're talking about a hook, I don't know what this is, so I'm immediately going to turn this off. I have no idea what this is. It's literally like 4 seconds of just
a crowd shot. It was subliminal.
And then it comes to this guy standing here. And again, without any context, I don't know what this is, and I'm probably moving on, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct. And here I put this video on because, of course, like this is one of the – in Italy, he's a kind of a legend. He's a Sebastian Frey. As you can see, like the exercise is very similar to the one that we did before. But the point here is that this observation is nice because it reminds me of the cultural context, which is another very important thing in social. Meaning, you, Michael, for example, if you are watching this video, you have some cultural beliefs. For example, like you don't know what these people are doing. You don't know about the goalkeeper. You don't know about the context. So like your curiosity is somehow different than mine because I know exactly what's going on as an Italian. And so my attention there would be more influenced from factors like, hey, I'm a Genoa fan or I'm a Roma fan. So my watch time might be different than yours. So again.
Understood.
Oh, no. I love what you just said right there, Jacopo, because like the thing is like, and it's now making me think about like context when like we're posting, you know, clips of different people we've had on the show before in the past. And like, well, that's Kalen Sheridan. But if you don't know who Kalen Sheridan is, like you're going to be looking at that from a different standpoint. So she better be bringing something of value.
Right. You might be
to that person
immediately. Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah.
Which shouldn't be. But,
but that's why also like.
Definitely not. Definitely not for Kalen.
Yeah, but that's how social media work. If you bring value to the table, you know that no matter the culture, no matter what, you're gonna at least have an audience. So that's the driver, I think.
So now here, this is your evolution as a goalkeeper educator in short form content from somersault and just a post, a long post on like what we're doing here. You've evolved here. This is more recent video, and you've added some captions in the front and an example to show a problem and then the solution here.
Yes, correct. So now this is, again, this is a thing that was taught me by, I don't know, like, do you know Iva Cic, guys? Which is like the team, Portland Timbers goalkeepers. It used to be like the starter, like.
Iva Cic.
Yeah. We trained together many times and he told me that. And I was like, okay, let me see the videos of like Andanovic doing it. And actually was doing it. And so like I tried to find a way to share it with people because I learned from him. And this is something that nobody taught me until like I tried with Iva Cic. And this is such a small, tiny detail and something that, you know, it's important, but it's very, 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 very a tiny detail. And so like I'm like, okay, let's put a hook that can grab the attention of like, okay, what can be wrong in some girl just taking the ball, some goalkeeper like grabbing a ball easily? What can be wrong? And so I'm like, okay, I need to put a caption because then I give the people the context. Because right. Now they are, okay, what's wrong here? She's catching a ball. Like, what is going on? And then you keep watching. Now, once in the body, like I'm trying to explain it, I always start from the problem. So that the, you know, like I'm very structural in my mind, like in my mind, in understanding the videos. But like basically it's like problem, then starting again from the problem and explaining why it's wrong, how it can be done better, and then providing a sort of like proof at the end. So that...
No, I was just going to say, you know, one of the things too, and you know, I don't know if there's copyright issues, you know, I don't want Jacobo's lawyers to be coming after us because we start playing the audio.
Look at the ball always.
But he mic'd himself on this too. So not only, and obviously, as we know, a lot of people watch social media without the audio. So that's why it's important to have the captions there too. But I think some people are auditory learners and some people are visual learners, right, Jacobo?
Correct.
Is that why you include both?
Yeah, I always try to catch three things, like the vocal, the visual, and the text, because in that way you maximize the chance that someone will watch the video, and your message goes out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, for me, I'm stronger auditory. Like when I watch Jeopardy. Like I have to hear him ask the questions or the answer, whatever you want to say, then reading it, like, because I absorb it. Like I can close my eyes and walk around the house and listen to Jeopardy and answer the questions. But if you turn the sound off and I had to read it really quick, it's just the way my brain works. You know, also I'm dyslexic. So for me, I'd have to read it over four or five times. Like, so everybody's different. So to have both is key.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think you know, you brought up a really good point right there, and Jacopo, and I'm assuming when you have all three key factors, it's the same thing as when you're running a training session, when you're walking through an activity, you know, when you're going through your coaching behaviors, you're going to have a goalkeeper there who's a visual learner, you're going to have one that's an auditory learner, you're going to have one that's a tangible learner, they actually have to physically do it. So you have to find a way to convey that information so that all those goalkeepers benefit from that instruction, and it's mm-hmm. the same thing on video, I'm assuming.
I love the way how you shift from video to field. That's very no, but I agree with you. I totally agree.
Yeah. So let's move on from
the ball with the arm straight. Is that because if you do that, you actually anticipate your opponent, and it's way easier for you to actually like be more aggressive.
I'll be honest with you, Jacopo. Like, this is to give you a pat on the back right here. This is a massive difference from what you were doing 3 years ago, 3-4 years ago. Like, and Suski, I'm sure you can attest for that too. Like, you know, this is the value here. If you're a young goalkeeper, in a short amount of time is massive. And this is honestly something I'd never even thought of before too. And I'm like, wow, I want to try this. What? I want to try this today with a goalkeeper.
Attacking the ball.
On the attack, but then it's into the scan because you're already in an aggressive position to scan for distribution.
Yeah, but on the same side, you don't let the ball hit. You don't. The ball doesn't hit you. You catch through the ball.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, like in a
Michael, do what you said. Be careful.
In a really quick soundbite, like, you know. Yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
All right, let's move on.
Oh, this is nothing,
like, I don't know why we're working with me. People are like, I don't know. That guy doesn't seem to know anything about goalkeeping. He was telling us to just stand there and wait for the ball.
You're great, coach. Stop it. You play yourself down. You're like, oh, I never thought of this. And yes, you do. You do. You just don't verbalize it properly.
Nobody asked me.
I'm not batting you on the back anymore.
Nobody asked me my opinion on the show. People just go, so Suskia, tell me, what do you think about this? And I'm just sit here and I'm just like, I'll just hold the microphone. It's all right.
It might have something to do with those.
It may have something to do with that. It may have something to do with that. So let's move on to this next clip right here. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm sure this is a great activity. I'm sure there's a lot of benefit to this activity. But one thing I've noticed, Jacopo, about this first off is that this is kind of boring and I don't know what's going on.
Correct.
And it's taking a long time for this thing to develop.
Mm-hmm. Correct. So I don't have an expectation, meaning that I don't know exactly what I can expect if I watch the video. So that I don't have, because it's humans, you know, like, again, you want to set very clear expectation at the very beginning about what the video can be and what you get if you stick until the very last second. And here you don't have an expectation. You just have someone doing something and with no wow or like, you know, haha moments that can, you know, like somehow highlight the importance of what you're doing. Or if you are, I don't know, jumping, you know, 30 meters or like doing crazy stuff. No, there is not none of it. And so like it's flat.
Right.
It's only for yourself. And yeah. It's only
like,
for.
Where's the why? Like,
correct.
And like you said, there's no like, this is right, this is wrong. There's no hook. You're just sitting here like kind of randomly watching a footwork video.
Yeah.
I mean, this like, is literally, it's the example of if I walk by the park and I just saw this, I just saw somebody training there, you know, that's the same experience right here. Like I would have to talk to the guy to know why he's doing this right whatsoever. I don't know the context. I don't know the level of the goalkeeper of the player or anything like that.
Correct. Yes.
Yeah.
That's the point.
Yeah. So I want to go to this right here. And first off, you know, Jacobo, you put this together, you know, these strategies and everything like that. And so if people want to find out more about Shorts IQ, I'm sure, you know, they can connect with you. But, one thing I really liked about here is you kind of showing like, these kind of like, what is the format? Like, you know, like, what are you trying to get out of these videos and everything? Because everyone is going to have a different why on why they're doing the video and what they're trying to get out of it. And if you don't start with that, then you're just putting something up there to put something up there.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
No, so I'm a very analytical as a person, but basically I think that you have to now also because everyone is, as you mentioned before, starting to do it. And so like, if you want to have a chance that your message goes through, you have to be very strategic about your content. So the way I always think about, okay, first thing, let's understand who I am and why I'm doing the stuff. And so, like mainly who am I serving? So these are the three pillars that you start from. And then the first thing that you have to think about is, okay, how can I make content that is original, meaning that nobody else is doing, and if other people will do it, will copy from me, meaning that will kick into the mind of my audience at the from a value standpoint, and then respect somehow the creative data, which are the best practices. But for best practices, that's the hardest part probably, because you have to be very analytical about how other people that are winning on social are structuring the content. And the farther you look from your niche, the more value you capture from it. Because if you think about what social media is a game of like storytelling. And it doesn't matter if you are about soccer, it doesn't matter if you are about finance, what matters is how you deliver on the story. And there are many creators, like there is Khabib Lame. I don't know guys if you know it, but he's like probably the most famous TikToker in the world, which is, by the way, it happened to be Italian. And he became famous because all he does is a joke and a demonstration at the end of the video doing this. Like, this is how you have to do it. This. And he just do that. Period. With a joke. And he has like 300 million.
It's insane.
It's insane. Like 30 million bucks a year. Like crazy stuff, you know? Now, that's not the final goal that you want to have. Maybe.
You should have just said something and just done this during the correct pandemic, right?
Correct.
And you'd have 17 homes by now.
Correct. I'm thinking all this stuff and these guys like, I'm making... It's fine, I'm joking. But the point is... the why. I'm curious about the why, because once you get the why, then you can replicate it. And then if you can replicate it, it means that you have a winning strategy. So the why is because he found a format, an original format. He matched the audience values because basically like his value is entertainment and jokes that are not political, not like that everyone can understand. And then the creative data is basically like, make the story as simple as possible that can deliver on its value the fastest way possible.
Okay. Wow. Okay. So let's look at this right here. So here's kind of like customer acquisition, because like I think, you know, a lot of the people out there and Jacobo, I appreciate you taking this time. I know Europa League starts in 6 minutes and you know, I'm sure that's a big deal for someone like yourself, since, you know, Milan happens to be playing in the Europa League in 6 minutes. So I appreciate you taking this time right here.
Yeah, no problem.
But you know, for people out there, you know, who are, you know, young coaches or even experienced coaches or starting their own academies and stuff like that, they're probably, their number one reasoning is customer acquisition. They want to get more clients to sign up for their academy or to join their club program or et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So does this funnel work for that type of a thing?
Absolutely. So the thing that you want to, again, once you want to get some more customers or people to help, the very first thing is like, I have to make content for people. So think about the content as the first transaction for your business, meaning that the very first piece of content that you put out there that delivers value that other people consume for free, and in exchange of like this viewership, they follow you, that's an exchange of value there. And then you have, okay, now maybe out of 10 videos that I make or 15 videos that I make a month, 10 will deliver value, and maybe 3 or 2 will showcase the experience of what I'm doing, not selling, showcase what it feels like training with me. And then 1, maybe out of 15, is like, guys, meet tomorrow for a free training session, 2 a.m., 2 p.m., or whatever, at the park to try out my service, or, you know, 1 out of 15 have to sell. That's the kind of like funnel that you want to have, because in that funnel, then you can create lateral ways of acquiring customers, like ads, websites. Like there are a lot of techniques that you can leverage, even like talking directly to people, DM them. But that's how I see it. Like you should always think about why people have to care about you, period.
I love this. This is like a free consultation. This is fantastic. But in all honesty, I mean, I think it all makes a lot of sense. I mean, well, Jacobo, I appreciate you taking this time and everything like that. I've learned a lot in just this, you know, hour. You know, Suska, I don't know about you, but I've learned a lot in this little amount of time right here, including how to pronounce Jacobo properly. So that was a good first step. And I'm going to start doing, every time I do stand up now, I'm going to end every bit like this.
I'm just going to do that. Oh my God. That'd be hilarious. Just that'd be for this conversation.
If I start doing that, and then I start posting the videos like that, and the next thing I know,
you have to,
I'm performing at the Hollywood Bowl. Like, you know, if people want to learn more about Shorts IQ, where's the best place for them to connect with you?
LinkedIn, I would say, Jacopo Viola. Now I'm, releasing the website because it's a startup. So we started we just opened the website, but it's still up and running. But if you want to visit, it's like www.shortsaiku.com. And for any kind of like request, they can even DM me on Instagram. Like, I'm here to help.
I love it. And obviously, guys, you can reach out to us at contact@insidethe18media.com if you have a guest suggestion or a topic suggestion, or at Goalkeeper Podcast on the Union app. We've been talking about social media right here. And obviously, one of the reasons that, you know, we started the Union program is because a lot of people were not getting the right engagement on social media. They were having very difficulty connecting with people like Jacopo, because, you know, obviously very busy people. And, you know, a thumbs up and a comment is only so much. And if you really want to engage with a lot of these mentors, go to theuniongk.com. You can download the app in the Apple or Google Play stores. Start engaging, start sharing your own content, start doing mentor sessions. There's just so much to benefit from the goalkeeping community when we all work together. You can even do mentor sessions with Suskia. I recommended Suskia to somebody yesterday
I get people that just want to talk.
Like a therapist? Like you're a therapist?
Yeah, like I'm not breaking down video or anything for some reason. It's like, you know, parents, and they just want to talk. know, it's fine with me. I'm here for you.
Hey, however you can benefit the goalkeeping community.
I was a site major, so it's all good.
You know, however you want to benefit the goalkeeping community, whatever you know, you want. Yep. If you want to talk about the latest episode of Mr. and Mrs. Smith with me, feel free to book me to do that. And we can talk about how they would be as goalkeepers. In all honesty, guys, I really appreciate everybody that I've been working with on the mentor program. All the other mentors, you guys are amazing. Jacopo, hopefully we'll get to start doing some stuff with you and Shorts IQ. Very, very excited with what you all are doing. Really, really, really cool stuff. You know, maybe I get to go to Miami, you know, when it's not so humid. So maybe like before July or August, and we can connect in person. And honestly, guys, this is me rambling, so we're going to end the show. That's all the time on Inside the 18, and we are out.
Bye, later, guys.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because... I have a charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.